the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 19th of April, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. As it's Thursday, we are joined by the Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. I was going to say the right Reverend Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, but I think I'll just call you Matt. Matt, how are you doing today?
Yeah, my friends call me Matt or Matthew. Yeah, I appreciate that. I had a rough weekend. I was sick, but I'm much better now. Ready to continue the fight as always.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. I do enjoy these podcasts that we do together, and I think you've picked a really good subject today. Pope Francis, and he's somebody that is often in the news for the ridiculous things that he says, but we've never actually dedicated a whole podcast to him. And you seem to have picked out some really choice quotes that we can use. And what I'll do is I'll go through each one and then we can discuss what the truth is, because a lot of these, he is just, he's just saying the opposite of everything that's ever gone before in Catholic tradition and in Christian tradition as well. I mean, this is the first one. This is just a sample of it. And this is from a book, I guess it must be called On Heaven and Earth 2, page 188. And he says, the Jewish people can no longer be accused of having killed God, as they were for a long time. When one reads the account of the Passion, it is clear. Close quotes. So what, is there some new evidence? Has some new forensic evidence come to light, Matt? What is this? I thought, I thought this was done and dusted. It was the Jews that were responsible for crucifying Christ. But according to the Pope, no. Is there some new evidence here? What is he on about here?
Yeah, I'm unaware of any unearthing of any, new document or anything like that. And it's right in the Talmud, for God's sake, but keep in mind that Pope John Paul II, Benedict and Francis have said the same thing. Pope John Paul II couldn't be any more philo-Semitic. And I'm getting the impression that younger Catholics see John Paul as some conservative figure, Benedict and Francis as his negation. I need to stress that, I grew up in John Paul II's, because I come from a secular family, but a Catholic family. I was an altar boy as a kid. John Paul II said the exact same thing. Paul VI said the same thing. So this is nothing new for the Vatican.
So they're all saying that the Jews are no longer responsible. The church had it wrong for 1950 years. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, and all four gospel writers and St. Paul and all the church fathers and every other pope before them, every patriarch before them, yeah. You've seen the pictures of the patriarchs and popes lighting the menorah every December. There's many canons in the ancient church that anathematize any bishop that prays in a synagogue or lights the menorah, but they don't care. They're their own law. And, Pope John Paul II, the last three popes have been very, very popular, very media savvy. The press loves them. And if it wasn't for the abortion issue, which even Francis has left even that, they would be, absolute celebrated every day. But this pope is celebrated every day. No Roman Catholic can be under this guy in good conscience. As an Orthodox man, I say thank you, Francis, for bringing us thousands of converts.
Well, he's certainly loved by the liberal press, but I would like to know what kind of logic they are using there. I mean, what was Judas a Roman? Were the Pharisees secretly Romans? The Pharisees that were desperate to have him killed and said, give us Barabbas instead. We'll have Barabbas, set Barabbas free, kill Jesus, and then said, his blood be upon us and all our descendants. You know, what's their logic for just ignoring all the witnesses and all the evidence of the last 1,950 years? There's no evidence at all, is there? Is it just that they think that the Jews are so special that they can just lie about it now and pretend that it didn't happen? There must be some logic behind him saying this, Matt. I mean, do you know anything of what it could be?
Unfortunately, I do. When you read about this stuff, you get just a little bit dumber. So, you know, I took one for the team on this, but there's a few strands of argument that they use. Number one, the gospel just isn't correct, and we can take it or leave it. That's one area. And that they were so biased against the Jews that they would just say anything. Number two, it was the Romans, not the Jews, which I know you're familiar with. And number three, you know, the Pharisees at the time may have been guilty, but that has nothing to do with Jews today or the Middle Ages or anything else. Although the Talmud, you know, brags about this, even in the mystical texts, Moses Maimonides, all of these guys talk about how essential that was, and they defend it to this very day. So I guess the final word is that they're just basing themselves on popular ignorance. That most people listening to him have never read the text, don't know what the Talmud is, and will simply follow him blindly. And that seems to be the case with anyone who sees him as an actual Christian, let alone bishop, let alone pope.
Well, he's sucking up to the devil, basically, isn't he? I mean, Christ called Judas a devil. He said the Jew's father was the devil. And here we've got the Pope, the head of the Catholic Church, saying, oh, no, they didn't really kill God. It's quite clear if you read it. Well, if anybody does read it, they will find out that the Pope is lying there. And the second quote that we've got from him, this is Francis's response to an open letter number 3, published September 2013. And he says, what I can say with the Apostle Paul is that God has never stopped believing in the alliance made with Israel, and that through the terrible trials of these past centuries, the Jews have kept their faith in God. And I would just point out that Israel is the church. It's not the Jews. And the Jews having kept their faith in God, what is the Pope saying here? Is the Pope saying that the Talmud is that's God, is it? The God of the Talmud? What do you think of this quote, Matt?
Well, I've heard it many times. Again, the last three popes have said very similar things. Remember, this guy is a Jesuit, the first Jesuit pope. They certainly know how to reason their way out of anything. It's absolutely, you know, again, it's absolutely nothing new. I'm not sure what this is a response to, though. You know, I don't really know what he's talking about. Read it one more time.
Francis's one's response to Open Letter 3 says, what I can say with the Apostle Paul is that God has never stopped believing. Right.
Yeah, he's quoting Paul here. The Byzantine Empire referred to itself as a new Israel. Kiev called itself the New Jerusalem, as did Moscow. Even Tibet called itself that. The Apostle Paul and all of his successors saw the church as you say, as new Israel. More specifically, the Christian empires, specifically the Orthodox empires of the East, all call themselves Israel. To refer to modern Jews as believing in God is laughable. Well, I think it's 5% or whatever it is. They insist that Judaism is some sort of a religion rather than this racial doctrine. It's, you know, this could be his own ignorance. You know, how many people actually read the Talmud? You know, I have, because I'm a masochist, I guess. You know, it's his own ignorance as well as the ignorance of those around him. And he's playing with words. You know, you say Israel, he could be referring to the Jews, can be referring to the traditional use of Israel, the state of Israel. By just throwing that word out there, he's deliberately being vague. So it's word trickery.
He's just relying on people's ignorance. Once again, the Jews aren't Israel and they don't worship God. Yeah, there is a copy of all this in your message box, Matt, if you want to scroll up in the messages.
All right. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah.
This one.
Okay.
Just, so you could got them in front of you as well. You've got Evangelii Gaudium 6, number 247. This is Pope Francis again. He says, "We hold the Jewish people in special regard because their covenant with God has never been revoked." Well, I know it was revoked when they were kicked out of when the Israelites were kicked out of their country. It was revoked. And since we were just saying just then, I mean, that the church is Israel, the covenant is with Israel, which is the church. The Jews, they don't have a biological inheritance back to Judah, the tribe of Judah, or the tribes of Israel. They're mixed race people. They're not religiously in touch with the biblical religion, and they're not ethnically in touch with the people of the Bible. And the covenant with God, they never had a covenant with God if they can't trace themselves back in this way. And the traditional teaching on this has always been that the Jews broke their covenant with God. They killed the Messiah, and this is why they've been punished all this time. Isn't that what the traditional view is on this, Matt, that the covenant was broken?
The entire church has this, other than Christ himself, has this as its foundation. I mean, this isn't just any old doctrine. It's the foundational doctrine. Other than the incarnation, I mean, this is the central thing. The relationship between God and the Israelites, from whom we are the successors, has been nothing but negative. I mean, anyone who bothers to read the Old Testament sees that God is far more angry with them than he is praising them. You know, it's the right faith given to the wrong people, very much like in our case. And the key historical fact here is that when the Jews were scattered, when Ezekiel wrote his prophecy, and were in Babylon, they really broke with the notion that God is this all-powerful figure. You know, how could he send us to the four winds and bring us to the Babylonian Empire if there was this all-powerful God to protect us? And they were developing this notion at the time that, you know, we are God. God, as his ethereal figure, is not really with us. We wouldn't be here if he was. And so we are God. And that's when they got in deeply into Babylonian magic and rose very high in the Babylonian aristocracy and administration, for that matter. That today is what we mean by Judaism. When I refer to Jews, I'm referring to, of course, these Khazars that derived directly from this group of people moving north deeply into pagan magic. And right now, to the extent that there's any theology at all, it comes from Babylon. Certainly doesn't come from the prophets. The Talmud is very clear that the prophets are burning in hell. And so they have completely not only revoked everything that Christ said, but they revoke everything in the Old Testament. And it derives from this captivity in Babylon. And they decided that magic and their own power is what's going to save them, not God.
That's when the Talmud really took shape. It was when they were in Babylon. It wasn't actually written down until the 4th or the 6th century AD, but the actual form, the oral form, that's where it took form, and that was the commandments of men that Christ mentioned and that Christ was castigating them for. So, yeah, that was when the covenant was broken. Well, moving on away from the religious topics, the next quote is from a press conference while he was on flight from Brazil, July the 28th, 2013. This is Pope Francis, the head of the Catholic Church. He says, "If someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge?" And this is quite a famous one here. But the understanding of being gay has always, it's always been the homosexual act, sodomy. If someone engages in sodomy, they are a sodomite. What he is saying here, by calling somebody gay, he is saying that people are somehow born sodomites. And that if they search for God, who is he to judge? He's the Pope. That's who he is to judge. What do you think of this one, Matt?
Oh, my God. I mean, and this is one of his favorite lines. Now, you've seen these white trash women with a tattoo that says, "Only God can judge me." You know, this is the same mentality that this man is adopting. You know, the gay lobby is extremely powerful. You know, the homosexuality amongst the within the Vatican itself, there's tons of evidence for this. Our job is judgment. We can't read, you know, what's going on in these people's minds. We can't judge that. We can't judge whether they go to heaven and hell, which is what that condemnation was all about. But St. Paul tells us we have to rebuke sinners. We can't do it for our own glory or anything, but we have not only the right, but the obligation to say that to eroticize fecal matter means that you have a mental illness. you know, and at the up until, you know, the 70s, that was not exactly a debate. You know, you don't hear a lot about it because it wasn't an issue until, and it's a almost exclusively Jewish movement, the homosexual rights movement in the West. And I have writings on this going, you know, way back, every name is Jewish. And so therefore it's connected with his veneration of the Judaic people. It really, it's very typical of him. And the thought-stopping cliche of who am I to judge, you know, no Catholic can follow this man in any good conscience.
Well, people look up to the heads of the church. They're the ones that are supposed to tell us what, you know, tell us what's right and what's wrong. If the head of the church can't tell us what's right and what is wrong, then, you know, how are the people in the church supposed to be able to tell? I mean, that was absolutely shocking when he said that. Who am I to judge? The next one, again, is from another in-flight press conference, this time from Azerbaijan to Rome. And this was on October the 20th, 2016. This is Pope Francis. Quote, last year, I received a letter from a Spanish man who told me his story from the time when he was a child. He was born a female, a girl, and he suffered greatly because he felt that he was a boy, but physically was a girl. He had the operation. He changed his civil identity. He got married, and he wrote me a letter saying that it would bring comfort to him to come and see me with his bride, he who had been a she, but is a he. I received them. They were pleased. That's from L'Osservatore Romano, October 7th, 2016. So he's not only accepting sodomites, he's also accepting people who mutilate their body with mental diseases. And the Old Testament says that anyone who is wounded in the stones cannot come into the congregation. So he's gone specifically against an explicit law there. I mean, he did as well with the previous one against sodomy, but it does say that anyone who is wounded in the stones cannot come into the congregation. And yet here he is welcoming them by saying he received them. It means he accepts them. He accepted this mutilated transsexual creature instead of speaking out against it. I mean, this is really sick, Matt, that the Pope would be doing something like this.
It's very, very sick. He is the first to do that. His predecessors did not. It's like he has this list of fashionable causes, and he goes one to another making sure he says all the right things. I have no doubt that this person suffered, but it's not because he's the wrong gender. It's because the man has a dissociative disorder. And rather than mutilating him and pumping him full of chemicals, he needs therapy and proper medication to get his brain correct, not his anatomy. That's the very definition of insanity, is a delusion where you think you're something that you're not. The only thing I could say again is thank you, Francis, for bringing in thousands of converts to the Orthodox Church. The head of the Russian Church's communications arm condemned this statement of his and condemned the pro-homo statements. And I wrote back, I said, you know, that's wonderful and everything, but this isn't the standard. It's not exactly going out on a limb saying that the veneration of fecal matter or the eroticization of it is somehow misguided. No kidding. That is certainly not the standard, and you shouldn't be patting yourself on the back for saying such an obvious thing. Unfortunately, even the heads of the world Orthodox churches, with two or three exceptions, are part of the World Council of Churches, including the Moscow Patriarchate. This is my big, big criticism of Putin here and the Russian church, that they are a part of the World Council of Churches, which created by the Rockefeller family and is dominated by churches who believe just as the Pope does. To this day, I have no idea why they're members of it. The newspaper you quote from is the official Vatican newspaper, so there is no question about this. And really, you know, the Pope will simply say, or whoever this guy is, will clearly say that whatever is fashionable, whatever is trendy, whatever will get him on the front page of the paper, and the man is no more Catholic than the desk I'm sitting at.
Well, yeah, he admits that in the next quote. I can't believe I'm actually reading some of this stuff, that this is actually coming from the Pope. This is from an interview with the Italian newspaper La Repubblica from September the 24th, 2013. This is the Pope. He says, I believe in God, but not in a Catholic God. There is no Catholic God. There is God, and I believe in Jesus Christ, his incarnation. Jesus is my teacher and my pastor, but God the Father, Abba, is the light and the creator. This is my being. So he was saying there isn't a Catholic God. There's a God that's just God. I guess he's saying it's not even a Christian God either. If he's saying it's not a Catholic God, what do you make of this one?
It's really hard to even comment on it. There's so many ways to approach his disease. You know, this kind of thing is designed to get maximum media attention. You know, he is a celebrity wherever he goes. All the elites of society run to him. The president of the Philippines, now this is a very Catholic country, has called him every name in the book. And so, you know, Duterte is a heck of a lot more Catholic than he is. There's chaos in the Church of Rome because of this. I don't envy Catholics who remain within the Novus Ordo sect under this man. And what they say is, well, this is just his private opinion. This has nothing to do with church doctrine. And I say in response that, I'm sorry, you're in communion with this man. Communion isn't just unofficial doctrine. It means it's fundamental identity and agreement with him. You can't get out of it that way, this kind of over-logical reasoning. This is the man who you commemorate at every prayer service. You can't get away from that. Catholics have to realize that, you know, as Dostoevsky said in the 19th century, he said, you could take Christ and God out of the Vatican and it could still function normally. It's as much a secular state and institution as it is anything else. And Francis is proving that.
You can't get away with saying, oh, this is me in private. I'm just the Pope in public. He is supposed to live. He's supposed to be, you know, a living representative of God on earth. Not just, you know, from 9 to 5, but all the time. To say that he doesn't believe in God and then say, oh, that's just me in private. In public, I say I do. I mean, he's obviously lying if he says that he does. Well, he's actually been rewarded for all of this. He's got his reward for it. And Forward, the Jewish magazine, has listed the Pope as one of the top 50 most important Jews in the world. So he's had his reward there. They've inducted him into the fold. They've told him he's an honorary Jew, not just an honorary Jew, but actually in the top 50 most important Jews in the world. What do you think of that one then, Matt?
Well, when I was putting this together, to send to you, I'd never heard this one before. I checked it out. I actually went to the Forward website and I saw it. He is from Italian immigrant parents to Argentina. And if there's Jewish blood in there somewhere, I haven't been able to figure it out. I know that there are some Sedevacantists, Roman Catholics, who claim that he is of Jewish background, that he is, and you know, the much of the Jesuit order, especially in Spain, was heavily infiltrated by Jews. And there's actually mainstream historical works, you know, on Cambridge University Press that show this in great detail. So I don't envy Roman Catholics. You know, I left the Church of Rome in grad school for a whole bunch of reasons. And that was when John Paul II was Pope. And the whole argument of Catholicism is that we have this papacy that is the successor of Peter. And as a result of it, you know, we the buck stops with him. And that's really the whole argument of papism. That's the whole argument of Catholicism, is that we have this Pope and we follow him.
I can hear your cats there playing around.
Yeah, I don't know if they're Catholic or not. I always thought that they were more nihilist, but I guess they're upset with me.
Anarchist cats. The Catholic Church has a Jew at the head of the Catholic Church. Yeah, either he's an honorary one or he's a hereditary one. And, you know, I mean, he could very well be a hereditary one. There were so many conversos that were involved in the church. But to be honored by a Jewish magazine, I mean, the saints must be spinning in their graves if they were to find this out. And the next quote, Pope Francis, 76, it says here, must always in the newspaper tell you the age of whoever they're talking about, has an unusually warm relationship with an Argentinian rabbi, has spoken in favor of pluralism and acceptance, plans to visit Israel early next year, and altogether has opened his arms to the world. As we wrote, Francis has the power to affect how more human beings view the Jewish people than anyone else on earth. And so far, it seems he's been doing a pretty good job. And that's from Jane Eisner. Now, this is a strange title, Why We Picked the Pope and Angelina Jolie. That's from the Jewish Daily Forward, November 12th, 2013. I guess that's in reference to them picking him as one of the top 50 most important Jews in the world. But they clearly view the Pope's position there, his position and that power he has, is purely just so that how he can get people to view the Jews in a better light. Nothing whatsoever about advocating for the Catholic Church or leading the church in morality, but he's only in that position just so that he can do things for the Jews. That's what it's saying, isn't it?
That's exactly what it's saying. Whenever, you know, and he's surrounded by rabbis all the time. He's advised by them, as you just read. And whenever they come anywhere to his personal apartment or to the Vatican, he covers up all the crucifixes and all the icons so that he doesn't offend them. There are several articles I could send to you that show him covering up or even just taking down crosses when the Jews come to see him. If I were a Roman Catholic again, of course, I'd have nothing to do with this man, but I would say he cannot be a priest, he cannot be a bishop, he can't be a pope, he can't be a Roman Catholic, he can't be much of anything. And so even the most faithful Roman Catholic at some point has to say that the Vatican has fallen. It's been fallen for a long time. You know, I used to describe an Orthodox person as someone who says that there's not been a valid pope for 1,000 years. My friends in the Set of a Conscience movement say, well, there hasn't been a valid pope in, you know, 60 years. Because, you know, the Set of a Conscience believe that there hasn't been a pope for that period of time. And therefore, we're kind of on our own. But it just seems odd to be Roman Catholic without a pope, since that's really the definitional core of the papacy. So, but, you know, the ancient canons, as I'll repeat again, are loaded with condemnations of any cleric who prays with Jews, who likes the menorah, any of that kind of thing. So by ancient canon law, this man has been anathematized 1,000 times over. I suppose because of that, he is just under demonic control and says whatever he thinks he needs to. And, the Vatican has fallen. There is no question of it. And, for me, this has been a long time coming.
Well, he's definitely under demonic control. He's listening to the rabbis. I mean, you just have to read John Chrysostom's work on what goes on in the synagogues. And not just traditional Catholic stuff either. Read Martin Luther about what he has to say about what goes on inside the synagogues. And then you've got this Pope saying that people should be listening to rabbis. He's listening to rabbis. And then, get this, he advises people to go and visit the synagogue. Here's another quote from him. This was Pope Francis, February the 28th, 2014. He says, "The majority of us know how to coexist. It's easier for us." And that's a clear message. It's a message that we have the same Father up in heaven and the same Father down on earth. We adore him. What you have done visiting these towns, the synagogues, mosques, and Christian churches is an act of brotherhood and a seed to build that culture of encounter that we all have to carry forward. But that's going directly against what Jesus said. He said the Jews did not have the same Father as him. He said their father was the devil. And he said that the synagogue was a synagogue of Satan. And now you've got the Pope here saying that people should be visiting synagogues and mosques and that we all have the same Father in heaven and we all have the same Father down here on earth, so we might as well just all miscegenate and destroy the nations that God created, and we might as well just worship the devil and go to the synagogue along with the Jews. I think that's what he's saying here, isn't it?
Well, as far as race mixing, he is in favor of that. I know you've seen quotes to that respect. He believes that all European countries should take in all of these so-called migrants. The Vatican is surrounded by a massive wall, by the way, but condemns Donald Trump's notion for a wall, or any Europe's idea of a wall. So he's in favor of that as well. And being Argentinian, I guess. But any kind of connection to race or ethnicity, unless you're Jewish, he condemns in no uncertain terms. If I were a rabbi today, I'd be laughing my head off at this man. He's like got to know at some level that no Jew really believes in God, and that there's no connection between a church and a synagogue. A synagogue, you know, even in Old Testament law, the temple is the only place where worship of God can be accomplished. The synagogue is not a place of worship, never has been. It's a political, social mobilization center is what it truly is. not a place of worship. And I think he knows this. So this man is demonic, and he's speaking to a demonic press in a demonic world, and it loves him.
Well, the final quote is one from today, I believe, or yesterday, and he tells a young boy that atheists go to heaven. You know, the young boy is obviously a bit distraught because his father has died, but his father was an atheist. His father said he didn't believe in God. So really, he's going against his father. The Pope is going against the young lad's father's wishes by telling him that his father has gone to heaven. And by saying that atheists go to heaven, again, he's saying that there's no need to believe in God. Is this the quote that spurred you on to wanting to cover Pope Francis today, Matt?
That's exactly it. Yeah, it was the front page of CNN's website today. Pope John Paul II said something very similar. And what he essentially did was tell this kid that, you know, you could be an atheist too, just like your dad, and it doesn't make any difference. I just wonder what he means by heaven, though.
Heaven full of atheists, I guess. Yeah. This is so bizarre. Well, I've learned something today. I didn't realize the other popes were quite as bad as Pope Francis, and I also didn't realize Pope Francis was quite as bad as he is. And we've also got quotes about him saying that we should be opening up the borders, welcoming all the Muslims into our countries, and flooding Europe with third world savages. So basically, anyone who is in the Catholic Church, they should be doing all they can to de-seat this Pope, or else transferring to Orthodoxy or investigating Christian identity. But I don't think Christian identity is exclusive. You could be Orthodox or Catholic or Protestant if you follow that. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. I really appreciated that. I'm sure our listeners do as well. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.